This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Tops, remember them? They'd get you dancing. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for being with us as we move into the weekend. It is Friday, June the 24th. In a few minutes, Veronique DeRugi at the Mercatus Center is going to be with us. We are going to talk about President Biden's gas tax holiday. He has just made an address asking Congress to suspend the federal gas tax until September. We're going to talk with Veronique. Is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? We'll find out with her. Stay tuned. And the Supreme Court makes it easier to get and carry a handgun, much to the chagrin of the state of New York. We're going to talk about that, among other things, with the proprietor of the barber pole, who himself totes, Andrew Ceraci. So stay tuned for that as well. And listen to this. This really gets me. A host of liberal journalists, not just a handful, lots, are saying Republicans do not deserve equal coverage with Democrats in the media. Did you hear that? They do not deserve equal coverage with Democrats. We're going to take a look at that and why they think that way. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one. The top 10 healthiest counties in the United States. The healthiest counties. Are you living in one of them? We'll find out. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For the best haircut guys in the Tampa Bay area, I have never found a better place than Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin, in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Call first for your appointment, please. 727-733-3773. And always the tip of the hat to the Senior Voice America radio show, which comes on just before us. Tim Bryce, Berkeley Badger and Company, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. So Joe Biden has just addressed Congress, apparently, to ask them to suspend the federal gas tax until September. He's asking them to institute a three-month gas tax holiday. I think it comes to about 18 cents a gallon for normal gasoline, I guess is the term, and 24 cents a gallon for diesel fuel. How much will this help us? Are we all flocking to the pumps? Will we be running over there and going, whoopee, hosanna, everything is coming up roses? I don't think so, because everybody really realizes that he's not doing what he can do, really. Remember, he's the guy that said he wanted to get rid of fossil fuels. He's beholden to the far left to get rid of fossil fuels. Of course, he's going to bring down, it's like the Titanic, it's going down, everything's going down with him, including his party probably, this coming November. But this is not going to be enough. It will not be enough. Anyway, we'll talk with Veronique in just a few minutes about that. Also, the Supreme Court yesterday, 6-3, said that New York's regulation that made it difficult to get and license and carry a handgun were unconstitutionally restrictive and that it should be easier to get the license. That's basically it. The existing standard in New York required that an applicant show proper cause. This is what did them in. You had to justify why you needed a handgun. Proper cause. In other words, somebody was going to determine whether or not your cause was proper. What if the guy didn't like you? What if the guy had a political bias? Proper cause. That's a scary phrase right there. So they had to show proper cause for seeking a license, and it allowed New York officials to exercise discretion in determining whether somebody had shown a good enough reason to get a gun. Well, let's see here. You live in a fairly safe neighborhood. I don't think we'll give you a gun. You don't need one. And you live in a very dangerous neighborhood, but the more guns that we put in that neighborhood, the worse off. So you're not going to get a gun either.
You don't live in a bad enough neighborhood, but what we will do is we'll give you this $10 coupon off a slingshot.
There you go. We also have some swords. But we don't have that many swords.
Maybe a Star Wars lightsaber?
Now, that could help. Just imagine yourself walking down the street with one of those things.
Especially Chicago.
Especially at night. You got it. So anyway, the Supreme Court is using some common sense. Clarence Thomas wrote the majority. He wrote, "This so-called special need in New York is demanding. For example, living or working in an area noted for criminal activity does not suffice. In 43 other states," Thomas noted, "authorities are required to issue licenses to people who meet certain requirements, and they do not have discretion to say no due to what they believe is an insufficient need." So, you know, the need.
I believe Supreme Court has reversed this. He reversed Roe versus Wade.
This is a bulletin, folks. The Supreme Court has reversed Roe versus Wade. This means it goes back to the states. It doesn't mean that the abortion is no longer legal.
There are going to be states that still allow it.
Absolutely.
Which means it's going to be a bit of an inconvenience for those of you that want to do that.
You'll have to go to a state where they allow abortions.
I mean, now, they'll go to buy marijuana in certain states, right?
And remember that it doesn't mean also that if you are doing something very, 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 very early, that you still can't do it. It's
right.
This has to go with the Mississippi law. I believe it was a 15-week law. But it's basically saying that the states will now have the right to determine whether or not abortion should be legal in their state. So we'll have to get the detail on this. I'm going to guess, Ed, that it was a 5-4 decision. My guess is that John Roberts, the Chief Justice, went with the minority on this one. I don't think it'll be a 6-3. And the reason I say that, without knowing, maybe I shouldn't say this, but Roberts is the kind of guy that always wants, he's not a big guy in setting a new precedent. Mm. He kind of likes to, he doesn't like to make waves. That's just been his personality. So we'll see where all of that goes. But that's a huge decision. It's the biggest decision of the term. And people are going to be jumping up and down all over the place. Now, it did come out on a Friday. I think we may have mentioned this earlier. I spoke about this at one time. Watch them try to do it and duck out of town. I don't know that that's necessarily the reason, but very interesting. All right, let us take our break. And when we come back, Veronique Durugi is going to We're going to talk about the Biden gas tax holiday.
Oh, her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday. Thank you very much for being with us, and we're delighted to have back Veronique Darugi, who is a senior fellow at the Mercatus Center. She's also a syndicated columnist, and we are going to talk about this gas tax holiday that President Biden is pushing. But Veronique, before we get to that, we just have a breaking story about Roe versus Wade. The Supreme Court has apparently struck down Roe versus Wade, sending it back to the states. Don't want to put you on the spot, but I thought I'd ask if you had any thought on that decision by the Supreme Court.
I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah.
My understanding is that the freak out on the left is a little bit excessive. I mean, it's not that it's not a game changer. That for sure is going to change a lot of things. But it's more that they are painting this as meaning something that it may not mean. And I just hope that those who care so strongly about it will actually work in their state to do what they think is the best, because now this is where it should be. And really, I mean, in a way, it is where the decision is put back where it should be. But I think it's a really, really, really big deal. And I think conservatives should have some compassion for those who are somewhat losing their minds about it, because it's a big shock.
It is, isn't it? Fair enough. Fair enough. Let's get over to this gas tax holiday. Joe Biden has gone before Congress and apparently urging them to allow this 3 months' worth. I think it's like 18 cents a gallon for cars and vehicles, and a little bit more for diesel fuel. So, is this going to do anything? Is this let me just ask straight out: is this a good idea?
No, it's not a good idea. I mean, these kind of these type of policies are never good. But in this particular context, it's particularly ridiculous and meaningless. What the administration has been doing for weeks now is try to avoid admitting that it has any responsibility in the current inflation.
Yeah, I think.
And of course, that's ludicrous, because it actually has a fair amount of some of the blame really is on the shoulder of this administration and of Congress. But instead, they're trying to point the finger at everything under the sun except the Federal Reserve and their own spending action.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why this is not going to make a lot of difference is because even if this was going to go to consumers, first it would be small, but also the last thing you need to do right now is to actually do things that trigger higher demand by consumers. Because the reason why we have inflation right now is because we have an overinflated a demand. And so this is just totally counterproductive. In addition, it's pretty funny coming from a president who's done everything it can to restrict supply of energy in any way it can. Actually, he campaigned on the promise of ending the production of fossil fuel here. And finally, it shows a profound misunderstanding of economics, because when you have such a constrained supply, it's very unlikely that this type of tax credit is going to actually reach consumers.
Very interesting. So they won't even see the change at the pump. Is that what you're saying?
It's a possibility. When you have such a constrained supply, right, and where basically a price is elevated everywhere, it means that basically people are relatively are less sensitive to price differences and price change. So suppliers can decide to pocket the tax credit.
That's
I'm not
true.
Saying this is what's going to happen. It actually depends on all sorts of factors, but it's a possibility. But let's say it does go to the consumers, then it also goes and does exactly the opposite of what it should be doing.
We're talking with Veronique Narugi. She is a senior fellow at the Mercatus Center, also a syndicated columnist. Quite an extensive background that she has. We're talking about the gas tax holiday. You know, it's funny. Getting the federal government involved in the private sector, whether it's with energy or, say, student loans or anything where the free market has been, you know, working its magic, always seems to go bad. It seems to go haywire. Look at what's going on with the student debt forgiveness push. You know, they want to get the government. Someone's got to pay off the loan. So is it going to really be the taxpayers? Well, the truth is they're printing money and, you know, they're throwing it this way and that way, which is causing more inflation. It's causing more inflation. So is the same thing going to happen with this gas tax holiday?
Well, so I don't know if Congress is going to actually go ahead with it. So
we're going to hope that they don't. Yeah.
And it's hard to tell what's going to happen, but I think there's a chance they're not going to go with it, in the same way as I think that Congress is not going to go with debt forgiveness. I think it's just at this point there are enough people who understand, though they don't want to actually admit it, that putting more spending into more government spending into people's pocket and, in effect, forgiving a loan is doing that, is going to add fuel to the inflation fire.
Yeah. In fact,
so I think it's going to, a lot of people are going to actually be reluctant to do this.
Yeah. In fact, backing you up on what you're saying, there are several Democrats that say they will reject it, the gas tax pause.
Because I also understand, at least for the student loans, I think a lot of Democrats do understand that effectively student loan forgiveness is going to be benefiting a lot of higher-income kids as opposed to lower-income kids.
Right.
Lower-income kids usually go to state institutions. They have tuition. They borrow very little money. And so it's not about them. And the gas tax, I think, I don't think it's a non-starter. There are so many economists also on the left that are saying that it's not a good idea.
Yeah. So do you think that the Biden administration knew that it wasn't going to go anywhere, but if they were to come out and say that and then see it rejected in Congress, that they wouldn't get blamed?
Well, it's hard to tell what's going on in his head. I think the main driving factor is that he doesn't want, he's very worried about the election, rightfully so, and I think he's very concerned that people could blame him for the inflation, and they're trying really, really, really hard to distract and make it sound as if they have nothing to do.
Yeah.
They're not responsible for any of it. The other thing is, I think, like everything in politics, it's like never let a good crisis go to waste. I was watching some of the hearing of Chairman Powell yesterday in the House, and all the Democrats were trying to push their pet project. Do you think that price control would be a good idea? Do you think that antitrust regulations would help address this problem? Don't you think corporations are greedy?
Yes.
It was just like this, it was a parade of bad arguments.
Crazy.
And pet projects that they always push no matter what. And by the way, that they were pushing before we had inflation.
That's right. Do you think that this 0.75% hike in the interest rate is going to help slow down inflation?
Well, it's going to help slow down the economy, which unfortunately is what we need. It's just, this is one of the terrible reality of inflation, is that the only crude way the Federal Reserve has to tame inflation is to raise interest rates, which in turn basically slows down the economy.
Yes, it does. So,
because it basically makes people are more reluctant to borrow money. There's just a lot of things that are not happening. Investment are not happening, and that's what you need.
Right? Yeah, it slams the brake on buying, doesn't it? To some extent, it slams the brake on buying, and all of a sudden,
yes,
we go the other way. It's like from the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah, and unemployment is going to follow, unfortunately. There are people who are saying that we are already in a recession. The problem with measuring recession is, like, we don't know when we're in them.
We usually find out after it's already occurred, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly right. So, I don't know. I guess overall, I guess things look kind of dismal, don't they, Veronique? I mean, is there anything we can be positive about other than maybe, you know, the November elections will change a lot of people and maybe we can, you know, start reversing some of these things that are causing some of the trouble, like, you know, with the gas and everything else?
I mean, I have to tell you, I mean, I'm a diehard optimist for the long run. The thing is, like, I don't put actually a lot of faith in politicians and Republicans. I've actually been very disappointing when
yes.
it's come to enacting spending cuts and free market solutions.
They do some of them.
So
you're right.
I don't hold my breath. That said,
where's Adam Smith when we need him?
Exactly.
You know.
Well, that said, I do think that inflation has a way of teaching lessons that politicians don't want to learn. And yesterday during that hearing, I heard Representative Tillis from South Carolina, I think he is, and he was actually saying something that I've been saying for a long time, which is he was asking Chairman Powell, he said, when you increase interest rates, basically if what you're doing is you're increasing the interest payment we pay on our debt. What he may not know is that actually 30% of our debt has a maturity of 1 year, so it means that actually this higher bill will come really, really quickly. Mm-hmm. But he was asking the right questions, which is, it's like, wow, this whole debt is like about to become even more expensive than it was. And he is right. And he said, which was the right conclusion, which we haven't heard in so long in Congress. And he said, well, I guess it's time for us, Congress, to start cutting spending. And which is absolutely correct.
Of course it is.
And so I think inflation has a way to teach lessons that, you know, like people like me who've been saying the same thing for a long time just don't.
Yeah, we learn the hard way, don't we? We learn the hard
way.
Yes,
I mean, remember that before this boot of inflation, the economists on the left who've been raising the alarm on inflation, Larry Summers, Jason Furman, Olivier Blanchard, right, were the one writing really kind of key influential paper about how the debt doesn't matter.
Right.
Right. And now everyone is kind of like, well, actually, you know, when there's inflation and when interest rates are, remember, like we lived in a 40-year period where interest rates were going down, 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 and I think some believe that they would never go back up.
Right.
And that changes totally the way you think about things.
We're going back up to where they were, or not. We're not anywhere near it, but back in the days of the Carter administration, when we were at 18-17% interest rates, and
I don't know how high we're going to go. The rule of thumb for economists is like, in order to tame inflation, you have to raise interest rates fairly high in order for inflation minus, like, basically real inflation, interest rate to be positive. And right now, we're still in negative territory. And so it seems to me that unless the economy really truly crashes, they're going to need to raise rate much higher than they do. But there's argument, like Larry Summers has actually said that recently, that if you actually measure properly accounting for a bunch of changes that were done in the last 40 years in the way we measure things, we're actually kind of in Carter territory.
Oh,
right,
boy.
Now, when it comes to things. So we'll see.
Oh, boy. Veronique, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Thank you, dear. All right, Veronique DeRugi, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we got breaking news, Ed, about the Roe versus Wade. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We're also going to talk about the Supreme Court making it easier to carry a handgun when we talk with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street by co-host and financial veteran Berkeley Badger. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this Tan Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday. We thank you so very much for being with us. Well, a Supreme Court landmark opinion has overturned Roe versus Wade. Let me give you a little bit of the detail. The Supreme Court today overturned the Roe case, effectively ending recognition of a constitutional right to an abortion and giving individual states the power to allow, limit, or ban the practice altogether. Now, this ruling came in their opinion in a case called Dobbs versus Jackson, as in Jackson, Mississippi, Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. It centered on a Mississippi law that banned abortions after 15 weeks. The Republican-led state asked the Supreme Court to strike that down and make a ruling that stopped the 15-week abortion ban from taking place. So that's what happened. And here is, I think, Judge Sam Alito's comment. I don't see if it's his. Yes, it is. He said this: "We end this opinion where we began. Abortion presents a profound moral question. The Constitution does not prohibit the citizens of each state from regulating or prohibiting abortion. Roe and this Casey thing arrogated that authority. We now overrule those decisions, and we return that authority to the people and their elected representatives. So what he's saying is that the 1973 opinion, where they said it was a right to privacy, therefore you couldn't, as an entity like a state, ban abortion because everybody had an individual right to privacy. They're saying that that was not legal. That was not constitutional. That's what they're saying. And therefore, if that was not legal, if that was not right, the whole Roe versus Wade case falls apart, right? And it goes back to what amounts to a vote in each state as to whether or not abortion is legal. So very, very interesting. I guess we don't, Ed, do we have our buddy Andrew? Well, we can't find him. He might be doing a haircut. Might be doing a wild dance. Who knows? Well, that's all right. So this is a very interesting situation. There's going to be a lot. I wonder if there's these poor Supreme Court justices, especially the conservative ones, are going to be hiring a little bit of extra security for a while, you know, because there's going to be a lot of anger.
Well, you would think they would be supplied security.
Oh, of course they are. Yeah. I guess what I mean by it is that maybe things would be a little bit more tense for them for a while, you know?
And look at some of these protesters who are out there that they're definitely a different bunch, even on both sides, you know?
Yeah. First thing you think is, why aren't they working?
Yeah, I was just going to say, they obviously don't have jobs. So this must be a full-time gig for them.
I think so. Yeah. Didn't we talk about the fact one day that they were sometimes paid?
Sure.
You know, paid by different groups to go out there?
Yeah, see those ones that were marching in front of the Kavanaugh's house? I mean, come on.
Right. Now, there was an interesting bunch.
Yeah, that's
what. Don't they have a life other than standing in front of somebody's house all day?
Well, they were marching up and down and
yeah.
One dude on his drum.
Mm-hmm.
But... No, I guess it'll be an interesting weekend here.
Yeah.
I mean, you have the right to protest and, you know, keep it peaceful is the big thing.
Indeed.
So, you know, we've got a lot of other stuff going on.
We do.
You mentioned that the failed attempt at the gas tax, which is not fixing the problem, once again.
Right.
Yesterday, all the oil execs were in town. In Washington, yet Biden chose to meet with the wind energy
executives. Yeah, he won't
executives.
Show up to talk with them.
No.
You know why? He doesn't want to be challenged in front of the camera.
Exactly. He doesn't want to meet the face to face.
Hey, I got something that you're going to find interesting. Do you remember Andrew Gillum, the guy that ran against the governor? Do you hear what happened to him?
Well, now, you got to remember, this was a favorite choice of a radio show. Favorite choice instead of that DeSantis guy.
Yeah, I can just imagine. Yeah, did they talk about it yesterday?
No, but I happened to mention it. I happened to mention, it wasn't our guy. We just didn't want DeSantis. Well, who else was running?
I got to read this story. This is very interesting. Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis took a swipe at the media for the fawning coverage Andrew Gillum was given when he was running for governor in 2018. Gillum, once seen as a rising star among Democrats, was narrowly defeated by DeSantis. Now he's been indicted on charges including conspiracy and 19 counts of wire fraud. How the mighty have fallen.
Well, you remember he had that whole thing, was it the hotel room in Miami with a bunch of naked dudes?
Yeah.
And a couple of piles of cocaine?
He got into everything. We got drugs, we got larceny, we got strange sexual things.
He just happened to sleepwalk into the wrong room.
Yeah. That kind of knocked everything for a loop for that guy. He was the mayor of Tallahassee. The former Tallahassee mayor is accused of acting in concert with his associate, Sharon Janet Lettman Hicks. I would hate to write that on my checks. That's a long name. to solicit funds using false representations and promises. So I think we finally got the master barber. He must have woke up from his sleep. Andrew, we were talking a little bit about several things. One was, don't know if you've heard the news, the Supreme Court has overturned Roe versus Wade, which means that basically that the states, as in like Florida, it will go back to the states and the legislatures of the states, of course, with the input of the people themselves. They will make that decision. Don't know if you, do you have a comment on that at all?
You know, Paul, to be honest with you, I just turned the television on.
Mm-hmm.
You know my friend Jim that I've been taking
yes.
care of for 2 years? Well, he's on his last hours.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And I've been staying with him.
Of course.
At his condo, keeping him comfortable. And I have to apologize
no,
for what I was doing.
You do not have to apologize, please.
And I just saw that on the television, but I think that's great. The states are the ones that should take care of that.
Right.
Not the federal government. They got their nose in too many things.
You got it. I just want to mention to those of you that don't know that Andrew has been helping a gentleman that was, I think, a Korean War veteran in his days who has no one to deal to help him, I guess no family or anything else. And Andrew has taken it upon himself to basically be his guardian angel and take care of him. I'm sure, Andrew, that because of what you've done, this man is still around.
Yeah, you know, it's an amazing thing, Paul. I got so attached to this man in almost 2.5 years. And I've been through from the day he couldn't walk anymore until now. And I've heard every story about his 25-year career in the Air Force.
Wow.
And he loved country music.
Oh, does he?
And right now, he's just coming in and out of it. He's in his last hours.
Yeah.
I got his country music playing for him with his Korean War veterans.
Oh, hand. God bless him. God bless you for that. I know that you'll possibly want to, if you need to duck out, get back to him here, Andrew. You know, you do that, my friend.
Paul, I've been up crying all night, believe me.
Well, I don't want to keep you on any, you know, I think you should be doing exactly what you want to do here, but... we also, we talked a little bit about that Supreme Court decision on the New York gun law, which basically, and I mentioned this before you were scheduled to come on, that, you know, that you yourself, you know, have a handgun. And the restrictions that they were putting on people, basically New York was saying, you got to prove that you need the gun before we give it to you. And the Supreme Court said, no, you don't. You don't have to prove that you need the gun. You have a right to a gun. You don't have to prove that the environment you're in demands a gun.
Well, what else can I tell you except that the Second Amendment says it shall not be negotiated.
That's right.
Period.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. Exactly right. And then we finally, just real quick, you might have heard me talking about it. You remember your buddy Andrew? It's not your buddy, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Andrew Gillum.
Yep,
I guess
sir.
He's not going to be running for governor or for president or for even the mayor of Tallahassee. What do you think?
I put all over the computer that I believe that the Democrats should have a rematch with him with Ron DeSantis. I mean, that was their favorite candidate, wasn't it?
Yeah. Look at the Tampa Bay Times. They were just...
You know what else I believe?
What's that?
I believe that could have been Barack Obama's son.
What? Andrew Gillum?
Don't you remember when he said Jesse Smollett could have been his son?
Oh. Yes, now I remember.
I believe Andrew Gillum could have been his
son. Oh, God help us. That's
just
funny.
Just Paul... That could have been our governor.
He was very close to winning that election. I couldn't believe it was that close.
30,000 votes, Paul.
You know, nobody really knew Ron DeSantis at that point, but now they do. But looking back on it, that's like dodging a bullet, if you don't mind me using that term.
Paul, let me tell you another thing that I found out that I'm quite upset about.
All right.
I found out in an article that Donald Trump has made... $1.4 million on giving endorsements out to certain people. Did you notice that Dr. Oz, once he got nominated now, he's taking Trump kind of off of his website?
So are you implying that Trump's making money off endorsements?
Paul, according to this article I read, I'm going to have to get it to you. I was kind of reading it in between things. But yeah, it was actually sent to me by one of the Trump people.
Well, that would be just horrible, first of all. Secondly, I can't believe Trump needs that kind of money, that he would prostitute himself and endorse people based on the fact they're going to pay him money.
Paul, I got to get you this article.
All right.
It really shocked me. And if it is, I did lose total respect for the man, and then I can see why Ron DeSantis is in every straw poll that every state has pulled.
Yeah, let's not bury Trump on this one yet. It sounds fishy to me. I would tend to say I don't buy it, but we'll see.
Well, that's the only thing that made me suspect with Anna Paulina Luna, Paul.
Yeah?
That really hit me.
You think so, huh? I don't think so.
The rumors are she gave $50,000.
He doesn't need $50,000.
No, I'm just saying to this organization. No. I'm telling you what I'm reading.
No, I got it.
Or not,
no, I'd like to hear more about it. And absolutely.
It's something we really need to research and talk about.
Yeah. Well, let me end on a note like this, Andrew. First of all, God bless you for what you are doing for that Korean War veteran in his last hours as the curtain comes down on his life. You have been his guardian angel. You're a great guy. I want to say a prayer for this guy, maybe, but we'll talk on Monday. We'll see how he's doing, okay?
You got it, buddy. You guys have a good week.
All right, God bless
Andrew,
you.
Andrew, stay on line.
Hold on. Stay on the line with Ed's going to talk to you, I guess, off air. All right, let's take our final break. And when we come back, a host of liberal journalists say that Republicans do not deserve equal coverage with Democrats in the press. We're going to take a look.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Friday. We thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. If you can't listen to us live, Big Ed makes it easy for you, folks. He puts all our shows on podcast. Go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top. You'll see Ed's wonderful work, and you'll see all our shows available there. All right, well, figures on liberal media networks like CNN, NBC, MSNBC have pushed the narrative that Republicans do not deserve equal coverage alongside their Democratic counterparts, often saying Republicans stand for anti-democratic values. Here's one. Joy Reid and a guest on her show, Matthew Dowd, he's a left-wing political analyst, suggest the media were too neutral in their reporting on the Republican Party. Too neutral. And that they needed to ramp up the hostility. That's what they said. How about Don Lemon? You've heard of him. He's on CNN. He shot down the idea Republicans and Democrats should be afforded equal footing in media coverage. He called the freedom to state truth and stand up for his viewpoints. Imperative. He said, journalists no longer need to live in a Walter Cronkite society. For those of you old enough to remember Walter Cronkite, he was straight down the middle. You never knew what his politics were. He just reported the news. How about Brian Stelter, CNN? He questioned whether Republicans should be given the same coverage as Democrats when he was talking with the Los Angeles Times. He says, is it that we're treating Democrats and Republicans equally and ignoring GOP radicalism? Is that the heart of the problem? How about Lester Holt? Lester Holt's on NBC News. He's been there for a long time. He's a news anchor. He said reporters don't need to hear both sides of a story in order to determine what the truth is. Wow. Lester Holt is certainly no Walter Cronkite. I'm telling you, think about it. So now they've given themselves permission to be one-sided on the front page of a newspaper or on a so-called straight news story on one of the networks. It's a very scary, very, very scary scenario.
Back in the day, it was called reporting the news.
Objectivity.
Yeah, and you did
objective
both sides.
That's right.
And then if you had an opinion, it was called an editorial at the end. You know, a lot of times, I don't know if you watch, how long you watch Channel 13.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't always Fox. And John Wilson.
John Wilson was there for a long time.
The father, John Wilson. Mark Wilson's father.
Okay.
After every broadcast, at 11 o'clock, he would give an editorial. And he, there was a few times that people would write in and say, what gives you the right to give, your opinion? And he says, because I take both sides and then I give you my opinion. And that's just
and
it.
And you know it's my opinion.
And if you don't like it, you can change the channel. Back in the day, you used to say that.
Yeah.
Without somebody writing a CEO an email asking for that person to be removed from the newscast.
But your point is that he was clearly delineating what was news and what was commentary.
He gave you both sides.
Exactly.
And then the editorial was after sports, probably about a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Gotcha.
If you didn't like it, change channel.
So that's where we are right now in the media. It's very scary. Okay, before we get to our top 10, which is a good one, we are saying a little prayer for our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning. They are down 3-1. They're going back to Colorado.
Yeah.
They'll be there tonight, 8 o'clock. And it's do or die now.
When it got into overtime, I knew they were cooked.
They went into overtime, and then did you see that there might have been too many men on the ice for Colorado? But I know, you know what? Colorado was beating him during that. I thought Colorado was the better team.
Well, let's see what happens, I'm not going to say it's impossible.
No, it's not.
It's not probable. But
it's beginning to look dim.
It's highly unlikely, but not, I don't know. I'm running out of words.
I know what you're saying.
I don't think you're going to pull it off.
What you're trying to say is it don't look good.
But you know what? I got to go back to what worked for us. They're going to lose.
There you go.
They're going to lose every game.
Yeah, that's it. Okay? Keep saying it. We're now.
Every time I said that, I was wrong.
I was wrong. Correct. We're in desperation mode now. We're pulling out all the stops.
And Tampa Bay Rays, go away.
What are they doing?
Just go away.
Are they doing something you don't like?
Honestly, they got problems with bats. A lot of guys are hurt.
Okay.
The injury bug is hitting them. So
we're kind of in the doldrums right now.
Yeah,
Early enough to get out of it. Yeah.
Nothing's worse to me than losing, and I can't do anything about it. Then I have to shut it off.
Yeah, I can't.
It's
very frustrating to be a fan. I mean, you're sitting there.
I can't do it.
Screaming at the TV, watching a hockey game.
Make the pass. If I'm losing, I can't do anything to help win. I'm frustrated.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Time for our top 10, Ed. I have an interesting one here for you. These are the top 10 healthiest, it says communities in the U.S. It kind of comes down to the healthiest counties, okay?
Okay.
Let's see if our county's in there. Let's find out.
In the U.S.?
In the U.S.
Okay.
Now, by the way, it's based on lifestyle, environment, education.
We're not in there in Florida. We're all fat.
Anyway, here we go. Number 10. Delaware County, Ohio is number 10, all right? And Let's see here. Anything to say about them? No. All right, number 9. Broomfield County, Colorado. You like Colorado. You go to Colorado. Is that anywhere near where you ski?
I don't know where Broomfield, Colorado. I don't know where that is.
All right. No problem. Number 8. Hamilton County, Indiana is number 8. That's farm country. They must eat a lot of corn out there. Number 7. Ozaukee County in Wisconsin. I know that area a little bit. It's, you know, I'm surprised, actually, that any county in Wisconsin would be considered healthy. But I'm glad for them.
And all the cheese.
You know why? Yeah, all the cheese and all of the milk products. Mm. Okay, number 6. Minnesota, Sioux County. No, I'm sorry. Sioux County, Iowa. Sioux County, Iowa. That's another corn-fed area. So something to be said for that. Number 5. Carver County, Minnesota. I don't know where it is, but, you know, it's interesting. Minnesota always seems to have a bunch of nice areas where people exercise and do this and that and the other thing. Number 4, Morgan County, Utah. Don't know if it's anywhere near Salt Lake City, but people around there, you know, they're Mormons to begin with, have a pretty healthy lifestyle. They don't smoke. And they don't, I don't think they drink, you know. The one thing they
I don't think they do either.
Yeah, they're very good that way. Number 3, Douglas County, Colorado. Ed, you know where that is, Andy?
Is it? That's near Denver.
It's near Denver. Apparently, do they, everybody out walking, hiking, and doing stuff like that?
Well, you get that, you're skiing. And,
skiing, you got mountain, it all.
Yeah, like you said, hiking.
So, yeah, a lot of things to do
outside.
A lot
outside. Of bicycling and stuff.
Yeah, beautiful. All right, number 2. Falls Church City, Virginia. Falls Church City, Virginia. I don't know if that's a county or not, but apparently I bet you they're out there walking and walking and biking and biking and roller skating and all that good stuff. That's all I can think of. All right. I don't expect you to know this, Ed, but...
none of those counties you brought up.
You'll never guess the state. You'll never guess.
Okay, good. Georgia?
I bet it'd be the 49th state you would guess.
Georgia?
No. New Mexico.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Los Alamos, where they dropped, where we came up with the atom bomb. Los Alamos County, New Mexico. They must have decided this, after the atom bomb.
You see, those people probably glow in the dark anyway.
And... But I'm kind of surprised, Los Alamos County. It must be, you know, generally when it's a healthy county, to be honest with you, they are a wealthier area. It's a wealthier area, right? Because people's lifestyles, they can afford the exercise and the, you know, all the things that make you healthier.
I see.
Go ahead.
Nancy Pelosi's up there speaking on half of. On the behalf of Vodka Lovers of America.
Yeah. As long as her teeth stays in her mouth, we might be able to understand what she has to say.
It's when she gets fired up. And she was just standing there talking. When she gets fired up.
When she gets fired up, then it's really worth watching.
The glue comes undone.
Okay. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored